Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A 3-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly 3 decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Oh, we have something to talk about this morning. Yeah, it's not just a regular Tuesday. Not by any stretch of the imagination. If I had my video camera just now, I hasten to say that the man filling in for Hugh today might have been in...
What happened? What'd I miss?
What did you miss? You just went full Chris Farley at a man down by the river.
No. How dare you? I just went DX on him.
DX?
Yeah.
Yeah, DX.
Yeah, I just went full on DX. I mean,
it looked like Chris Farley doing the man down by the river.
Yeah. We're not even 5 minutes into the show, and we want to throw you out of here.
Means I can go home and go to bed. Yeah.
5 seconds into the show. John Chuckery filling in. He's taking a couple of days off during the holidays here. So John Chuckery is in this morning. And we do have something to talk about in terms of George and Justin Fields, and we will get into a lot of that. But if you missed the news last night, just the headline, Dan Wolken at USA Today and AP reporting as well, that it appears that Justin Fields has made the decision to leave the University of Georgia.
Oh, did the haters come out on Dan last night, boy.
Ooh, man.
The Twitter mob was in their feelings when he put
Dan
that story out.
Oh, yeah.
Because then, you know, obviously everybody had to start doing the follow-up story was it true and all that.
Yep.
And as soon as there was a story and what's his name? My brain just went dead. The guy that covers UGA for dog walk and all that, Chip Towers. As soon as Chip Towers put out the story of, well, his stepmom hasn't officially said, then Twitter mob went crazy. See, all this stuff is made up, and he's not. Twitter mob just went crazy like they always do.
Well, Dan Wolken will be here with us later in the program. Now, it's not till 9:20 this morning, but he's making rounds, and he's going to be with us at 9:20 this morning to talk about this story that he broke last night. But we're going to assume that it's probably true. So we'll get into all of that and break
not
that
down. Not
a
surprise, though.
I mean, it's not a surprise at all. I mean, it will be the second 5-star guy that Jake Fromm has run out of Athens.
Yeah, yeah.
How about that?
If he leaves, that's 10, is it 10 or 11 of the 19 5-star quarterbacks since 2010 that have transferred to another program?
Yes. I saw that list, too. You would agree with me that half the list is bust players.
Oh, anyway. Of course, yeah.
Not any good.
Yeah, I mean...
Phillip Sims?
As Randy McMichael always likes to say, why are kids doing this nowadays? Because it's 2018.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just... Even next year, John, it'll still be 2018. I mean, that's just where we are in the world of... The days of DJ Shockley are over in college football.
Yeah, just about. You're right. I mean, that is rare. I mean, we've seen it in some places. We saw it at Ohio State. I mean, guys hanging around, waiting for their opportunity, and they got it. I mean, in some places you see that, but it's rare. I agree.
You just have to be very good at navigating those waters. I'm not sure if Ohio State even today had that same situation. You saw Joe Burrow leave the program.
True.
He was a 4-star quarterback, set all the records in the state of Ohio. I'm not sure if you had that same kind of Cardale Jones situation in Ohio State today.
Right.
That
Braxton Miller,
and part of it was Braxton Miller was willing to go play another position,
correct,
too.
So, correct. Yes, that's true.
And by the way, he was 2-time offensive player of the year in the Big Ten and agreed to change positions. That doesn't happen either.
No, it doesn't. No, you're right. And so again, you're right. It's rare. But we'll get into certainly what does it mean for Justin? What does it mean for Georgia? And break this all down. In about 15 minutes from now, we'll get really cracking on the morning show. Again, John Chuckery filling in for Hughes, taking a couple of days off just to get a little rest. And we'll carry on without you. And we'll talk about a lot of things. Last night, the Saints, by the way, in case you missed it, won again. They are 12-2. They won 12-9 and beat the Carolina Panthers. Just some quick thoughts about the game that we saw last night. The Saints have, in the last 3 games, they scored 13 against Dallas. They scored 12 last night. Is there a problem there, John?
No. You understand if they get home field advantage, they ain't losing. They get home field all the way through, they're going to be in this building over here.
I know, which just makes me ill to think about.
I know. I mean, for 2 weeks, we're going to have to listen to all of that. But if they get home field advantage, they're not losing the playoffs.
I know. It's just going to make me
ill. I'm fine with the Saints winning because I don't want Carolina to get get in. So screw Carolina, too.
Which, by the way, Carolina has not been mathematically eliminated, even though they lost the game last night. There's another question about Carolina, because the Falcons are going to be playing Carolina next week. Cam Newton is just not right.
No, his shoulder. I mean, they're 0-6 since he took that hit against Pittsburgh. What? Let me tell you this. I wouldn't. If the Falcons and Panthers offered to pay me to have that game in my cul-de-sac, I wouldn't have it. That's how bad that game is now. Falcons and Panthers.
Well, you know, I know the Panthers are not mathematically eliminated, but at some point, do they have to shut him down?
Does that look like a playoff team? The Panthers?
No. I mean, of course not. But I mean, you know, his shoulder is so bad. Maybe he can't do any more damage to it, I guess. Maybe that's their thinking.
If he can gut his way through it, I guess that's what you have to do. I mean, we talk about it in the NFL. Players play, man. I mean, if you're not, I guess, mathematically out of it, you know, Dan said the same thing, you know, here. I mean, players play. I mean, that's why you bring guys back. I mean, I guess. I think part of it, you don't think Ron Rivera's not fighting for his job, too?
Oh, of course he is.
I mean, if they're not a playoff team, is he back?
You got a new owner there. I mean, somebody said about that, you know, hey, listen, they've lost 6 in a row. They're 6-8. And here's the funny thing. The Falcons win next week. Falcons can finish ahead of them. Falcons could actually finish second in the division.
Yeah. Yeah, from 3 playoff teams last year to.
Yeah, I know. One.
Barely getting one in. Well, I shouldn't say barely. Saints are terrific. I mean, they are. They're a really good team. That shows you how good of a team the Saints are, because they really had no business winning that game. And the Panthers screwed themselves in the first half, right before halftime in that game.
Well, and you know, when your only touchdown pass is thrown by Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah. Well, they got the interception from Breeze, you know, with under 2 minutes, and then Newton throws a pick in the end zone.
Right.
And that was your opportunity to kind of expand that lead in a game where your defense was giving you everything you could ask for out of them.
Yeah, they were holding the Saints down. Yeah, the only reason I ask about the Saints is because, you know, if you're a Saints fan, I mean, Arthur, you're a Saints fan. 13 against Dallas, 12 against Carolina, give you any pause?
Not at all, because all three games were on the road, first of all. At some point in time, teams are going to be able to figure certain things out. Look at the Rams over the last 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm not terribly bothered by that. They've got their final two games at home, starting Pittsburgh on Sunday and then closing out with Carolina. If it continues with those games, then maybe. But they still have a very good offense. They do need, however, to get Ted Ginn back to be able to stretch the field, because they don't have the ability for Michael Thomas to do that, and teams are now locking in on him.
Yeah, what stinks for the Saints, too, is the Rams have Arizona and San Francisco to end the year. How bad are those two teams? That's how they get to end their season.
What do the Saints have? Pittsburgh and Carolina. I know they play Carolina.
Yeah,
again,
they
right?
got Pittsburgh and Carolina.
Well, and of course now you also have the added thing in there. You got the Bears. I mean, not out of the question that the Bears could get a bye.
Bears are really good. Trubisky, throwback, wearing his Ditka sweaters and Ditka beard and everything. That's a good team. How good's Khalil Mack? Huh?
Yeah, no kidding.
Is he the defensive player of the year in the NFL?
Well, he's got to be. I mean, even though with Aaron Donald and, you know, having a great year, and he's having a great year. And J.J. Watt having a great year. But Khalil Mack has so changed one franchise. You know, NBA, one guy can change everything. But Khalil Mack has so changed one franchise, because he changed the whole dynamic of the franchise.
Daryl, you understand that they're, I guarantee you 100%, before John Gruden got that job, he laid out to Mark Davis what he was going to do. Like, you don't just trade Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper just off your roster. Like, you don't make those kind. I don't care how much autonomy you think you have. You don't make those kinds of moves unless going into that job, you'd already discussed that with your ownership. Hey, man, I tell you, Daryl, I tell you, man, we don't need Khalil Mack around here. We'll go find us a guy. I got me a draft pick, and we'll go find us a guy.
Yeah, and really, you got two draft picks right out of it. And think about this. With Dallas and Chicago, those are going to be high playoff draft picks. In other words, you traded Khalil Mack for the 29th pick or something. You traded Amari Cooper for the 27th pick. I mean, you went, or something like to that end. I mean, maybe not 27, maybe 25. But whatever. The point is that you're not even getting top 25 pick. There's no way the guy you draft at that place is better than Khalil Mack.
Never.
There's no way the guy you drive is better than Amari Cooper.
No. No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance at all. But you don't make those kinds of moves unless you already had that, unless you already came into that position and said, listen, You can give me the job. Here's what I'm going to do.
He didn't take the job without the 10-year, $100 million deal without also saying that I get to fire Reggie McKenzie when I want to fire him.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, you don't just make those kinds of decisions walking into a job. You get the job, and then all of a sudden you decide, oh, I'm going to trade these guys. No, yeah, just
and I'm going to force the GM out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen. We're talking about, of course, football with the Saints winning last night, 12-9 over the Carolina Panthers. The Panthers, of course, the next game for the Atlanta Falcons as they play in Carolina on Sunday. Last two games for the Falcons, both on the road at Carolina and at Tampa. And at the beginning of the year, we looked at those two games. We said, how important could those two games be? You know, division games on the road. You know, we're going to be sweating. And now no, look at where we're at with all three of these teams, Carolina, Tampa, and Atlanta. We're just kind of playing out the string. We have a situation where Ron Rivera's job could be in trouble, though I think that might be a mistake, but you got a new owner. Certainly Dirk Cutter's job is in trouble in Tampa. No question.
Yeah, both those guys. Why would it be a mistake to get rid of Ron Rivera? Because he played for the 85 Bears?
Because he's gone to a Super Bowl before, and okay. I think if you, you know.
Why'd he go to a Super Bowl? I always bring this up, and why'd he go to a Super Bowl?
Well, he had a healthy Cam Newton for starters, but he also had.
He went to the Super Bowl because Cam Newton had one of those kinds of years. Go when you look at the NFL and your quarterback has one, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, Peyton Manning, Kurt Warner, when you have one of those kinds of years from a quarterback,
yeah, Pat Mahomes,
you go in the Super Bowl. That's just how it works. Rich Gannon, take your pick.
Yeah, but I guess what I would, look at what New Orleans did with Sean Payton. They were very patient. I mean, back when they were 6-10, they could have gotten rid of him. Look at him now.
Okay, he's the best play caller in the NFL. You're not going to bring a guy. What guy are you going to bring in that's better at running an offense and calling plays than Sean Payton? I don't care what the record is. Like, he has a skill set that nobody else in the league has. It's easy to say, well, you keep Sean Payton.
I also understand the other part of this, which is, again, you, John, you understand this. You have openings at Cleveland and Green Bay. You're going to have additional openings. Tampa's certainly going to be open. Mm-hmm. There're going to be others that open up here, okay? I mean, Baltimore could still be open.
Right.
And there's going to be a limited and finite number of guys that are really capable of being NFL head coaches, whether that happens to be Lincoln Riley or whether that happens to be a stud coordinator somewhere like a Josh McDaniels. There aren't a whole lot of guys to pick from, it seems to me. I'm not overly impressed with the list.
Well, it never is because they go in the retread route in the NFL. That's why Greg Williams may end up getting that Cleveland job. Is because he's got them in playoff contention. Maybe hard to let him go.
Hawks tonight against the Wizards. Our coverage begins at 7 o'clock. Tip at 7:30 with Steve Holman, the real voice of the Hawks. Hawks.com for tickets tonight at State Farm Arena. We have Hawks basketball for you live on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, when we get back, we touched on it. Let's get into it. The big breaking story out of Athens. Is Justin Fields done as a dog?
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now streaming anywhere on radio.com and the radio.com app.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios on this Tuesday. Hugh is taking the day off, much needed rest, and so a couple of days where he can just kind of catch his breath a little bit. And John Chuckery is in for him this morning. And, of course, John is the main host on our college football show, as you know.
No, Randy McMichael is the main host. Yeah.
Randy McMichael is the main host of a college football show that features John Chuckery.
Unpromoted, unsponsored college football show.
Randy McMichael is the main host of an unpromoted, unsponsored college football show that features at times John Chuckery. You done?
No, I listen. Keep going. I'll take many shots before the day is out. We still got 3.5 hours for me to take
Come
shots.
Come on, Chuck. We got a long week, baby. Come on now. Yeah. Suck it up, baby.
Firing away.
Anyway, I think he knows a little bit about college football. It's only a guess. So it's kind of a fortuitous for us that we have him today.
Quit begging. I don't have big words set up. We're still working a new system, John. Yeah. Work with me, man. Fortuitous.
All I heard
big
was,
word.
All I heard was fruit wrap. I don't know. It's just
I'm still setting things up.
So. Justin Fields. Dan Wolken broke the story right about 8 o'clock last night from USA Today. And by the way, Dan Wolken, the man who did break the story, will be with us at 9:20 this morning. I know it's a ways away, but if you happen to be back in your car, he'll be with us at 9:20 this morning. That Justin Fields intends to transfer. Now, there's a lot going on in this story that we have to kind of walk you through. That's the initial report. Let's kind of take it one part at a time and just go from there. Dan Wolken breaks the story, John. The initial report is that Justin Fields has decided the five-star you know, number one, number two, depending on how you look at it, quarterback of the nation from Harrison High decides he's going to leave Georgia and transfer somewhere else. Now, immediately thereafter, there's some, if not denial, some, well, we're not sure.
Right. Chip Towers supposedly got a quote from his stepmom that said they haven't made a final decision yet. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't transfer. That doesn't mean that he will. But but people use that as, well, see, Dan, when he tweeted last night, also kind of followed up because everybody was started coming after him about, he said, I've got my trusted sources on this. He's not, and Dan's not somebody who, I've talked to Dan several times, and he covers a lot of different things besides college football. Hell, he covers horse racing and different things. I've had him on for that. So Dan's not somebody just to throw out hyperbole. You know what I mean? Like, he's not somebody who's just going to throw out something to see if it will stick. This really shouldn't come as a big surprise in a lot of ways, given where we're at in 2018. Just, it's the nature of what you go through. Urban Meyer always talks about, Urban Meyer always tries to bring in a high-level quarterback recruit into every class that he has. Whether, you know, he had Joe Burrow, Tate Martell, and Dwayne Haskins. He's going to bring in 4- and 5-star kids every year. Why? Because you don't know how it's going to shake out. Bring those kids in and see how it's going to shake out. And that's what you do at Georgia. Is,
and well, they were,
you
bringing
don't shy a, away right, from kids like that.
4-star kid this year, and John Reese Plumlee out of Mississippi, who, that's another side story as to, you know, his status as a commit to Georgia. Because remember, we're only 2 days. Day after tomorrow is national, is essentially, right, we'll call it what it is.
First national signing
day. National signing right. day. And so, you know, here's the field story happening right part of that. Because one of the other angles on the field story was that maybe he was going to still play with Georgia through the Sugar Bowl and then announce his transfer. You know, I think at this point, you're probably, you know, if you're in, you're if you're out, you're out.
Well, what I really thought, John, we talked about this a week or two ago on our college football show. I really thought Justin Fields in the Sugar Bowl was going to get a big look. Like I told Randy and Chris, I was like, I would not be surprised if in the Sugar Bowl it was almost a 50-50 split of snaps to really see. Not that the Sugar Bowl doesn't mean anything, but a chance to see Justin Fields against a good team, a team that's going to be ranked very high next year in Texas, and really give him an opportunity to kind of spread his wings. Not mop-up duty, not things like that, but here's a shot to really see. And this was kind of what they wanted the redshirt rule to be to start with, is let kids be able to play in games like the Sugar Bowl and see what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I really thought you'd have seen a close to 50-50 split of snaps between Fields and Fromm in the Sugar Bowl, because I know what I have in Jake Fromm. And this is the story I think that's getting lost, John. Jake Fromm was one of the 6 or 7 best quarterbacks in college football this year.
Agreed.
Is he not one of the 3 or 4 best college quarterbacks coming back next year?
Of course he is.
But let's assume Dwayne Haskins goes in the NFL draft.
Okay.
Is he not one of the 3 or 4 best quarterbacks in the country?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
So we have to give Jake Fromm a little bit of credit for, he took that job and he grew and he became a much better player in his second year.
What, he again, you know, like we said at the top of the show, Jake Fromm has run 2 5-star quarterbacks out of Athens.
Yeah,
Jacob Eason and now Justin Fields. Now to Fields, what can he do? Let's presume that this is all true and that Justin Fields is transferring, which I happen to think Dan Wolken of USA Today is not going to put his reputation on the line unless he's got it on lock. All right, let's just put it that way. So let's say Justin Fields is transferring. Now Kirby Smart is going to say, you know, no, I'm not going to give you a waiver. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to give you.
But they can't do that now. They changed those rules up. That's the Nick Saban rule.
Yeah, I know.
The coaches can't dictate where kids are going to go. What really is the real intriguing part, he's going to fight to try to play next year, Division I.
Right.
That's what's going to be intriguing is he going to have to sit out? And the NCAA is showing they've become much more lenient about letting kids transfer and immediately play and not having that sit-out year. And the rumor and innuendo, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, is he's going to use, part of it is that he may use what happened with the racial slurs that the baseball player from Georgia used against him and kind of the culture there. I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, he's going to do whatever he can to try to play next year, Division I football.
Right, because his other options would be to sit out. The third option would be to drop down. You go to a JUCO, you go to a 1AA program where you don't have to sit out. You go to Furman or Chattanooga or someplace and play for a year. And then you go to wherever you're going to go. And one of the later stories was that the three teams' leaders in the clubhouse, at least according to one source, were Ohio State, Florida State, and Oklahoma. But I have no idea where Justin Fields will want to go. I mean, certainly everybody in America, there probably isn't there aren't five teams in America that wouldn't want him.
Yeah. I mean, literally outside of Georgia, Alabama, and Clemson, what programs couldn't use Justin Fields right now?
You know, there are a few others that probably have their quarterback and their system. But yeah, I mean, I agree. But, you know, if he wanted to come home and play at Georgia Tech, for example, I mean, he comes back home to Atlanta.
I mean, I would, man, if they could pull him into Georgia Tech, brother, you talk about creating a new, he would change the dynamic of Tech instantly. You imagine if Collins finds a way to bring him in. That's the story of the year.
And you sell him on, we're going to have a new offense. Yeah. And by the way, and here's my Temple offense. And by the way, you get to come home and be a star at home. Oh, and by the way, you get to play those guys in Athens.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, you got three more years to play those guys.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would love it. I mean, I would love it just for Tech's program to get that caliber of kid. If nothing else, John, I would love it just to shut the people up who tell me about recruiting at Georgia Tech.
Right.
I would love it from that standpoint. That would shut them up for – they'd have to be shut up for a few years.
So what does Georgia do? Let's see. Let's take the Georgia angle on this. What does Kirby do? You know, it's National Signing Day in 2 days, so it's a little late to go out and get another quarterback. You can possibly get another quarterback, you know, in the fall, in the spring, and bring him in. But they've got a quarterback that they have as a commit. His name is John Reese Plumlee. He's a four-star who, in his senior year in Mississippi, accounted for 52 touchdowns and only 3 interceptions. He's a big, tall, lanky kid who can really run and throw. Now, that's all great, but they had asked John Reese Plumlee to blue shirt. For those of you who don't know what a blue shirt is, they were basically saying it's sort of like a red shirt or a gray shirt. This is called a blue shirt, where you say to a player, we want you to come play for us, but we don't want to put you on scholarship until next fall when the season starts. That way, we don't have to count you against the 25 guys. In other words, you come and you show up in the spring and pay your own way through the spring and summer.
Right.
You pay your own way, and then you know, you just walk on is essentially what you do. And then we guarantee you'll have a scholarship in the fall. That way I can go out and recruit 25 kids in my class, and you don't count against it. He has balked at that idea. And Ole Miss is coming after him hard to keep him trying to stay at home. At this point, Georgia, if in fact those reports of the blue shirt are true, Kirby Smart may have to say you're on scholarship, because what does he have? He has Jake Fromm and Matthew Downing.
Yeah, and I was asking you, I thought Fields and Fromm were the only two scholarship quarterbacks that they had. Which is why that Fields was never going to redshirt this year, because I thought he was one of their only two scholarship quarterbacks, not to mention, obviously, making him part of the offense. But these are what the best programs go through. I mean, that's part of when you want to be Alabama and Clemson and things like that. These are what you go through, is that you're going to recruit all the top kids in the country, and you're going to have kids that don't shake out for whatever reason, whether they don't make it, whether they don't like their playing time, whatever it is, that just comes with the territory. When you recruit all of the top guys, you're not going to have everybody stay.
I don't have a problem with Justin. I have no problem with players transferring, because I just don't. I mean, as a general rule, if coaches can leave, players can leave. You do what's best for yourself. But I am surprised that Justin Fields is transferring now. I think at the end of next year, I could have seen it. And the reason I'm surprised now is because of what happened with Tua, you know, and Jalen Hurts, and then what happened with Tua and Jalen Hurts in both cases.
Yeah.
And I mean,
everybody's going to talk about it. I know. But Jalen Hurts was not one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the country. Jake Fromm is one of the top quarterbacks. I know what you're saying, but it's not the same, though. Because everybody's pointing to that and Clemson. Well, see, those teams, different situation. Everybody knows that Trevor Lawrence is better than Kelly Bryant.
Right.
Everybody on that campus, even the coaching staff, knew that Tua was better than Jalen Hurts. Mm. I mean, with all due respect to Jalen Hurts, I'm not trying to knock the kid. You could throw even average quarterbacks into Alabama, and they could only lose 4 times in 4 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're that good of a program.
Yeah,
we saw
that.
So that's not a knock against Justin Fields, but Jake Fromm is that good. He's not. This is not smoke and mirrors. And Jake Fromm's was going to be your starter going into next year. That's why he's making the move now. There's no reason to wait another year on this.
Well, and Justin Fields has NFL designs. There's no question of that. And I think Justin Fields is going to be a spectacular quarterback in his own right. This is a big loss for Georgia. And any way you slice it, it's a big loss.
I'm just glad we got some white snake to go with it.
All right, we'll venture to that area of the show known as the Windy Zone next on the morning show.
Sure. So with or without Justin Fields, they're going to be the second or third team in the nation. It's a loss because he is a five-star caliber quarterback, but he wasn't going to start next year, folks. I mean, despite what y'all think, he wasn't going to start next year.
I think it's a pretty big loss. I think Justin Fields is a superstar in the making. I think it's a pretty big loss.
Do you agree that Jake Fromm's a four-year quarterback?
If he wants to be, he can be a three-year quarterback, go to the NFL.
Do you really think he's leaving after next year?
I guess Justin Fields doesn't think so either. He would have stayed.
Right. I think Fromm's a four-year quarterback, which also means that if he keeps on the upward track that he's going, that it could be 2 years before he gets
started. And I think Jake Fromm could play in the NFL. I have no doubt of that. And I think Justin Fields is, just from what I have seen, has the tools. If he gets the proper coaching, he's going to win a Heisman.
Is that your Ron Paulus moment?
I know. Bino, no, Cook. Bino Cook said Rob Paulus would win two Heismans. Yeah.
Right, Bino. You can go and weigh in on the conversation on our Twitter or on Facebook.
They're same
page.
Age, Arthur.
At 929 the game. Oh, boy.
Okay, Bino.
It's only 6:43, folks. It's going to be a long morning.
It was a long morning when they announced last week that John was going to be filling in.
3 days. Not in the morning. 3 days.
Oh, boy. This is going to be a fun
one. Oh, I'm enjoying this.
Oh.
Wow.
Wow. Well, although it hasn't been officially announced, Maroon 5 is rumored to be the halftime show here in Atlanta come February the 3rd. Well, according to sources on Variety magazine, the band has reached out to more than half a dozen stars, and it has failed to lock in another artist to perform with them during that 13-minute slot on Super Bowl Sunday. So among those considered to appear with Maroon 5 is Cardi B, who's on that hit Girls Like You. It spent 7 weeks at number one. She's set to appear at the Grammy Awards on February 10th, so it would make sense for her to come with Maroon 5 on the Super Bowl halftime show. Also apparently reached out to Andre 3000 of Outkast. Others rumored Mary J. Blige has been approached but faced scheduling conflicts. Still more like Usher, Lauryn Hill, Nicki Minaj, who performed in the 2012 Super Bowl with Madonna, are all names to be rumored. But right now, Maroon 5 struggling to find another artist to perform that Super Bowl halftime show here in Atlanta.
Do you think there's going to be that there's sort of like a, and Daryl, you're the music guy, sort of like a unofficial protest by Atlanta artists because of them picking Maroon 5 and not kind of going with the local flair, that a lot of the local Atlanta artists from Outkast to everybody are just going to say, nah, let's kind of not agree to do this?
I think it's that amongst other things. I put it that way.
Well, I mean, this is all shaded in Colin Kaepernick.
Yes. Thank you, John. You said it for me.
I on both sides of it. I mean, there are people saying we're not going to show up because Colin Kaepernick's not in the NFL, and the NFL is saying we don't want to put people on stage who are going to kneel. So, I mean, this is all, you know, in that. And by the way, we do have that big thing that's going to happen at Centennial Olympic Park, correct? And
that Jermaine Dupri's throwing.
Right.
And also at State Farm Arena.
Right. Yeah, well, yeah, that's
the,
that 3-day concert.
Super Bowl Music Fest. Yeah, right. I mean, the Super Bowl Music Fest before that weekend leading up, like AT said, you have Migos, Lil Yachty, and Lil Baby all performing.
Yeah,
at that,
which I think is interesting, you know. I mean, but and they don't want to. I mean, I mean, look, people can do whatever they want to do. I'd have a hard time not taking advantage of the fact that you're on the Super Bowl. That's just me, though.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. Don't be surprised if Colin Kaepernick makes an appearance at one of these events that doesn't have anything to do with the actual Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Oh, right.
It wouldn't surprise me in the least. Yeah,
and Daryl, my rap name's Lil Wallet.
And I have a feeling you won't be performing at the Super Bowl either.
I might.
Lil Wallop.
I can do Andy Gibb.
But apparently Maroon 5 trying to work with a management company here in town called Quality Control, whose acts are the Migos, Lil Yachty, Lil Baby. So it seems to be like Migos and Cardi B would be the front runners for that other spot. But again, all rumors, and they're still struggling to find someone.
Here's going to be the problem. Whichever group or artist decides to perform with Maroon 5, they're going to be blacklisted by people on social media to the point where I don't think they can avoid taking that risk.
What if Andre 3000 did it?
I don't think he can take that risk.
Oh,
I really
he
don't.
Can. I
think
disagree.
I think if Andre 3000 did it, I think that he could do it.
No, I think you have to take your Atlanta hats off on that one. For us here in Atlanta, it's easy for us to say that.
Who performed last year? I forget. Who was it?
Was it Lady Gaga?
It was Justin Timberlake last year and then Lady Gaga the year before.
Who, was there any protest in that one? I mean, who did he?
No. Well, I forget who was with Justin.
The only controversy with Justin last year was whether or not Janet Jackson would put up.
In the Prince hologram, remember?
Right. He did do something regarding Prince, and that caught some backlash.
Not
because
sure.
They thought it was appropriation.
Yeah,
it was
appropriate. Unfortunately, we didn't get the Joey Fatone reunion with.
Hey, that would have been amazing. Don't knock it. That is still the greatest Super Bowl halftime show of all time.
Joey Fatone?
Was with NSYNC, Britney Spears, Mary J., Nelly, and Aerosmith. Yes, best halftime show of all time.
I was at that halftime show personally,
and
it was not the best.
It was the best.
Prince was the best one.
No Kitty Pop. That wasn't the best.
Oh, man.
Kitty Pop.
It was right in my wheelhouse. That was the best day of all time, and I was just jealous of the people on the field.
You say my best. Yeah, that's how you have to say it. My best.
Oh, well, everything's an opinion. I mean, it's my opinion that that's the best halftime show.
It is her segment, John.
I know. It is true.
So, in my opinion, I'll restate it, John, just for you. In my opinion, that was the best halftime show.
Well, we're spicy. See what you did this morning, too.
Yeah.
You brought this damn spice here this morning.
I don't like it.
Hey,
spice.
I don't like it.
Her rap name is Lil Saucy.
Little Wallop and Lil Saucy.
Yeah,
huh?
Lil Salty.
See what you miss if you don't tune in every hour of this show?
No, I always say, like, when I listen to this segment, you know, and I'm getting ready and getting ready to work, this segment always wants me to get some X and glow sticks, Daryl. I mean, when I. What? What?
If I get caught in office for you,
what?
I'm going to cuss then.
What? What happened?
Nah, yeah, I can take it with you. I'm not taking it with a guest. You stop.
That's right. They don't know I work here. I'll show you where I park. They don't know I work here.
We've gone off the rails.
Oh, what? This show doesn't usually do that?
Well.
Just not by 6:49.
Do I have time for another story, Daryl?
Yeah, go ahead and get one on in.
Oh, well, this is going to take longer than 30 seconds, but I'll just mention it here and I'll do it later. The Monday Night Football crew obviously taking a lot of heat this year with the addition of Jason Witten. It's mostly Jason Witten getting the heat come Tuesday mornings, but this morning it's Booger McFarland getting the heat because he was talking about Cam Newton and he provided this analogy. He said, "Stats are like bikinis. They show some things, but not all things." And boy, did Twitter have a field day with that line from Booger McFarland talking about Cam Newton.
What's wrong with that?
As soon as he said that, I said, it is true.
It's true.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
I thought you were going to say Witten was going to catch some heat for something he said.
Oh, we'll talk about
it. You guys hear how bad Rondé Barber was on the broadcast Sunday?
Uh-uh.
Rondé Barber was terrible. Dreadful.
Yes, he was.
Dreadful.
He wasn't good.
By the way, this crew's going to be back.
Hey, by the way, one of the Atlanta Journal Constitution columnists is asking a question. How much space is left? What's the window for the Atlanta Falcons? We'll chop that up next.
Shadow dancing.
Come on, Andy, sing. Sports Radio 92 on the game.